Please turn to the Gospel of John. It's toward the back of your Bible. John chapter 10, verses 22. Actually, we won't be going all the way to 42, like your bulletin says. But we're beginning in John 10, verse 22. And actually, if you remember, last week on our bulletin, we had this picture because it was Reformation Day, October 31st. And so we celebrated the European Reformation in the 16th century and the five solas of the Reformation. Sola is Latin for alone. We talked about how the Bible alone is our authority. It's the voice of Christ for the abundant life of his people. And actually today, we're going to continue that theme as we move into the next passage in John, really focusing on grace alone. That our salvation is by grace alone. Some people have made grace into an acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense. It's about the free mercy and grace of God. And so, let me read for us today our passage, John chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. This is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. At that time, the feast of dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple on the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe, because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Let's pray. O living God, we ask that as we will do our part to listen, to pay attention, we ask that you would do what we cannot do, and that is work by your Spirit to give us understanding and to apply this word, to respond to your word appropriately in our lives. We ask that in the name of Jesus, knowing that we are heard. Amen. I don't know if you guys heard, I'd never heard of Collins Dictionary before, but there's a word that is the word of the year in Collins Dictionary. They add several words that haven't been in the dictionary in the past, and this word this year is permacrisis. Permacrisis. Anyone heard this word before? I'd never heard it before. Anyways, it made it into the dictionary. And basically, it is an extended period of instability and insecurity. An extended period of insecurity. Maybe you felt like this past year or the past couple of years we've been in a permacrisis. The reality is that the world has been in a permacrisis ever since our first rebellion against the living God. But the world continues to be in a permacrisis as long as the truth is not being shared. As long as the truth is not being shared plainly. Because if the truth is shared openly and plainly, people are able to be reconciled to God. The church then is able to be built up to mature in our union with Christ. And the church is then able to carry out her mission for the sake of those who are not yet amongst Christ's people. We need a truth, and we need it to be spoken plainly. And that is what we hear the Jewish leadership asking this Jewish person, Jesus, to speak plainly. Verse 22, of course, some background information. It's the Feast of Dedication. This is what we know as Hanukkah today. Maybe some of your Jewish friends you've known practice Hanukkah. They use the dreidel, that sort of thing. This is the Festival of Lights. If you want to learn about where this festival came from, you don't look to the Old Testament, but you look to some history books written by Jews in between the last book of the Old Testament and the Gospel of Matthew, the first book of the New. First and Second Maccabees. So go home and read it. It's quite interesting. The Festival of Lights, it's known as. And this was going on, and it was wintertime. Cold winds. And so Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon, on the eastern side of the temple, where it wasn't so cold, where the winds weren't so strong, probably teaching. The light of the world, walking in the colonnade of Solomon, one known for wisdom. And here is the wisdom of God walking the halls. Verse 24, the Jewish people that gather around him, though, aren't so sure that he is the light. They don't believe that he is the wisdom of God. They gather around him. They circle him and say to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Now, the way that the question is phrased, that they're not really inquirers with an open mind, so to speak. These are people who are looking for reasons to do what they've already been planning to do since chapter 5, which is to kill Jesus. If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Tell us plainly. Jesus is going to be very, very plain. And as a minister of Christ, my job is to be plain as well. Some of what I'll say today you may never have heard before. My only request is that you compare what I say with what the Scripture says. If it's not there, then don't listen to me. If it is, then know that it's not my teaching. It's the Lord's. And therefore it is good. It is light. It is holy. And it will serve for your good. Jesus speaks plainly. Verse 25, he says, "I told you. I told you. And you do not believe." I've been clear. My words have been clear enough to lead you to the conclusion that I am, in fact, the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the promised Son of David who was to come and to bring salvation and renewal. I've told you, but you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. The things that I've done, don't you guys remember when I went to the paraplegic, the man who could not move, and I made him fully functional again? Don't you remember just very recently the blind man from birth? Never has anyone seen a blind man be healed. I healed him. You all know the Scriptures in Isaiah. When the Messiah comes, the blind will see. My works have spoken plainly. I am the Messiah. But, verse 26, you do not believe. Now, Jesus tells them why they don't believe. Because you are not my sheep. And let's think about that verse for a moment. Jesus is now telling them why they don't believe. He doesn't say, "You are not my sheep because you don't believe." That might be the way that we would expect Jesus to say it, but he says, "You do not believe because you are not my sheep." Apparently, one must be a sheep before one can believe. And not all, not every sinner is a sheep. I told you we'll be focusing on grace alone today. Grace alone. And we need grace. Grace is God's free mercy and compassion and forgiveness. Because if we get what we deserve, we will get justice, fair treatment, God doing what is right in punishing wrongdoing. But grace is getting what we don't deserve. And not everybody in the world has been predestined, has been chosen to receive that grace. I told you, we're going to be talking plainly today. By grace alone. When we say that, we mean it. We don't mean by grace alone, mostly. We don't mean by grace alone, 99% and 1% is us. We mean by grace alone, 100%. That grace is what determines that you would be a sheep before the foundations of the earth. You must be one of God's chosen before you will believe. And if you are one of God's sheep, then you indeed will believe. Jesus speaks plainly. You do not believe because you are not my sheep. That does not mean that you are not responsible. When Adam and Eve rebelled against God, they did that of their own free will. When we, as children of Adam, rebel against God, we do that of our own free will. And in fact, when those who have been determined to be Christ's sheep before the foundations of the earth believe, we do believe of our own free will. We respond because God, by His grace, enables those who formerly were unable to believe to now respond with faith. So God alone is to be thanked for our salvation, because it is entirely of His grace. The thanksgiving is not divided between us and God. It is fully given to Him. 100%. From beginning to end, this salvation is of God. You see, in verse 28, Jesus says, "I give them eternal life and they will never perish." They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. He goes on to say, "My Father who has given to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand," and I would include you in that. You are not able to snatch yourself out of the Father's hand. I know how it is in the Christian life. You've got that fist sometimes believing that salvation is dependent on you holding Daddy's hand, white-knuckling it, because you know that your other hand is trying to get that hand out of your Father's hand, and maybe you're living the Christian life with an amount of anxiety. Will I leave my Father? I know my heart. I want to tell you today, you cannot. If you have but an acorn of faith, it is a gift from God. And that gift will never go away. The Christian life is not a life to be lived with anxiety at all, but resting in our Father's power, in our Father's strength. It's not dependent on my grip, but on His. I also want to point out that if He is ensuring that we will never perish, that this life that has begun in us He will bring it to completion, that we will persevere, that we will be preserved to the end, then that means that not only have we been predestined and chosen to believe, which is often, if you've heard this teaching before, where the focus is. Sometimes there's the fancy language of justification, being made right with God. We have not only been chosen to be justified before God, we have been chosen to be sanctified. The Christian life will happen. The Holy Spirit, the gift has been given. You will change. All of the process of your salvation has been given to you 100% as a gift. This is what Paul speaks about in Romans chapter 8. Have you read this before? I remember the first time I read this and I said, does anybody know that this is in the Bible? Because this is crazy. And I came to love it. It says in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and following, and we know that those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. Remember the voice of the shepherd? The voice of the shepherd that the sheep hear and they respond to. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. He made right with God. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. Wait, that's in the past tense. Have you been glorified yet? No. But actually, yes, because basically in the plan of God, it's a done deal. This Christian life, with all the threats to our faith, is nevertheless one that we, not looking to ourselves, but looking to God, can be assured will be brought to its full completion, because salvation is by God's grace alone. It's also through faith alone. We do exercise responsibility. Having been enabled to believe, hearing the voice of the shepherd, we do believe. We do trust. This is what Jesus says in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. Well, don't the other sheep hear? Don't the other goats or whatever hear the voice of the shepherd? Of course they hear it, but they don't hear it. You know, when the word hear is used in the Bible, it's not just like you heard the crow cawing outside when Ray was praying. Like, it's kind of in the background. Hearing in the Bible is about trusting with the kind of trust that obeys. It's not a dead faith. It is a living faith. And so the sheep hear His voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. True faith is exercised by us, and it is by faith alone that we receive salvation. A faith that is living, yes, but it is not because of faith. God does not say, you are right with Me because you have faith. Instead, He says, you are right with Me because you have trusted that Jesus is enough for you. And so if you've ever asked yourself, well, how do I know? How do I know that I am of His sheep? Do you trust Him? Even with a mustard seed, even with an acorn of faith, do you have trust in Him? If you have it, it is a gift from God. How can you grow in greater assurance that you are His sheep? Keep trusting Him with a living faith that seeks to carry out His commands. You won't do it perfectly. None of us will until Christ returns. But as you trust and as you follow, you will grow in the knowledge that you are indeed one of His sheep. And salvation, as we've already noted, is in Christ alone. Why? Because Jesus lays down His life for the sheep. Verse 15. And I, the good shepherd, lay down My life for the sheep. The sheep will not have to suffer. He will suffer in their place. Verse 27. They hear and follow. They don't look at their faith. They listen, they look to Him who speaks, and they follow Him. It is Christ to whom we look at in our gracious salvation. And verse 28, I give them a gift, 100%. They don't pay Me back for it. A gift is only a gift. If you don't ask for money in return, Jesus gives us something. What does He give us? Eternal life. And you say, awesome, because I always wanted to live forever. Well, yeah, that's true. You're going to live forever. But it's better than that. It's better than that. Because Jesus said, this is eternal life, Father. that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Salvation, eternal life, fundamentally, is about a restored communion with the living God. It's about knowing God and being fully known by God in all of your glory and in all of your shame, and yet He loves you just the same. Our salvation is in Christ alone, because no one will be able to snatch us out of His hand. It is His grip that holds us. We know we are His sheep because we keep our eyes on Him. And all is to the glory of God alone. We hear this in verses 28 through 30. It is God's grip, God the Father and God the Son, that hold us. And Jesus says in verse 30 something that those around Him believe He deserves death for saying. He says, "I and the Father are one." We are one in this gracious work of giving the gift of salvation to those who don't deserve. We are one. And that Jesus shares this same responsibility, this same glorious work with God, means that He also is God. He and the Father are one. And all the glory goes to them. All the thanks is due to them for salvation. The goal of predestination is the glory of God in the display of His magnificent person. He will be gloriously glorified when it is displayed that He has dealt with sin justly. When He has dealt with sin justly by condemning His Son for what I had done, for what we had done. When He displays His mercy and power as He raises His Son to share that new life with those that He has determined to give what they did not deserve. I've spoken plainly because Jesus has spoken plainly. And I hope that although I know, and I've been there too, this can cause questions to arise, maybe frustration. I hope that some of you are feeling joy. I hope that some of you are having aha moments as you understand just how freely God has dealt with you in His mercy and love and grace, and how secure you are in this world while the rest of the world runs after money and fame and just another person to help them feel that they can make it another day. We don't need to treat money and people like crutches. We've got a God who holds us up and who will hold us forever. I hope that you have joy, and I hope that you'll join me in a meal that is all about eternal life, communion with God, restored fellowship with Him. On the night that Jesus Christ was betrayed, He took the bread and He broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat, all of you." That same night with His disciples, even with one who would betray Him at the table, He took the cup. He said, "This is my blood shed for you. Take and drink, all of you." If you have been baptized and have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what church you go to. As long as it's a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church, please join us at the table. We are all one family. If you have not yet been baptized and trusted, then please wait. But certainly, Make this moment count. Trust in the voice of your shepherd. Repent of your sins. Believe the good news. Embrace the gospel. And come talk to me or somebody else that you trust in this congregation about what next step you can take now that you have trusted in the Lord.